Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Great to have you in on Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone, and you. A lot of football to get into. We'll talk some NBA. We'll do a little Big Ten tour, buffet style, with Rick Pizzo. It's all good Tuesday here on Hail Varsity Radio. Can tap the line. Schilling Bridge Court can tap house. Let you do that. 466-3776. 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Ways to give us a shout if you like. You can also find us on Twitter at Hail Varsity, at Schmidt underscore radio, or at Two Birds, One Stone. For Colton, give him a follow, give us a follow, and you can email chris@hailvarsity.com. Coming up live from Bristol, on his way in a thunderstorm to his hotel, ESPN's Mitch Sherman. So we'll get caught up with Mitch. 1 hour from now, it's Rick Pizzo time, Big Ten Buffet. Plenty of things to talk about with Rick. Supreme Court, gambling, Husker baseball, Michigan football. And then one of my favorite people, Jeff Smith, longtime coach at Southeast, an excellent teacher, and longtime assistant for Nebraska basketball. Recruited, coached, knows Ty Lue well. He's been to some practices before. So we'll talk with Jeff Smith, get his perspective, his coaching perspective, and thoughts on Cleveland, Boston tonight. Also get his take on just, you know, back when the Danny Nee era was happening, Coach Smith was on staff. How much were head coaches and assistants around the old Big Eight on players and watching the gambling stuff, right? It's 20 plus years ago. So interesting there. Teaser, may jinx this, may not. We are working on Michael Franzese, former Columbo crime boss, for Thursday or Friday. Note, I will be on my way to Kansas City Friday, so we might talk to Michael earlier. Danny Burke, Colton Stone will be holding the fort down Friday. As much as I love you two, I'm not giving you Michael Franzese.
That's okay.
Okay.
Speaking of gambling.
You're the happiest. You and Danny Burke are just like, yep, well, we're going to make some money now.
Well, I think it's more Danny than me, but.
No, absolutely.
I'm not so much worried about lines and
Danny's going to be his own gambling conglomerate. Now, he was the happiest dude in America yesterday.
Yeah. Well, and they haven't like passed it legally for Nebraska.
It's never going to happen here. No. The point is, Danny can bet legally now. We're not going to get that call at midnight where you or I got to go bail him out. What'd you get pinched for, Danny? You're 21. There's only a couple of ways we can go with this. Driving, solicitation, what? Yeah, dude, I was calling my guy and got taken down. Gambling Danny. It's all right. We'll talk some NBA. So that'll work. Jeff Smith is phenomenal. Excited to talk with him. Okay, here is Steve Kerr from last night. This has a Husker football tie-in, so hang with me. But Steve Kerr, last night, game one, double-digit win, really no threat at all. Golden State's that awesome, that tremendous. They are built to last for a long time. And one of the reasons that puts them over the top, even my kid was watching his old hero, KD, last night.
Kevin, you know, this is why this is why anybody would want him on their team. But you think about a couple of years ago and we're in the finals and we couldn't quite get over the hump. You know, Kevin's a guy who puts you over the hump, and I don't know what you do to guard him. He can get any shot he wants.
He can. He did. They did. 37 points. So getting over the hump, X factor. Let's make this a Nebraska football reference point here. What does Nebraska have? What can they get to get over that Wisconsin and Iowa hump? What do they have? What can they get to chase down in some crossover games, Penn State, Michigan State, Michigan, Ohio State? That's kind of the task at hand right now. That's part of what's going on with where they're recruiting, who they're going after, what their identity is going to be. Mm-hmm. And it's a simple question. Are you built to dethrone the champ? How are you built? And right now, there is an effort and an insistence to be the stronger, tougher, more physical football team, because that 9 times out of 10 will win you football games, being willing to do what the other team can't or won't. And is Nebraska there? No, they got a long ways to go. But that is the plan. That's the thought. So, how does Nebraska get there? And it's kind of a fascinating conversation when you look back at college football and how things transition and how cyclical it's been. And for the longest time, you know, teams were built to beat Nebraska. Thought to Coach Barnett, you watch the Colorado 30 for 30, and that's why a big deal's been was made about Nebraska football by Colorado. That's why you couldn't wear red. That's why you circled the Nebraska game. That's why you couldn't say the word Nebraska in Boulder, right? Is because they put their heart, soul, everything they had into beating Nebraska. Because if you beat Nebraska, then you are on the doorstep of top five and national championship things. That's what they believe. That's what they did. That's what they executed. That's what they became. And then they kind of got put back in their place. They weren't going to recruit, this being Colorado, any player that was Nebraska wasn't recruiting. So, and you have some programs. Kansas State, for a long time, we got to find a way to beat Nebraska. Colorado, we got to find a way to beat Nebraska. Oklahoma, it's always been those two, Big 8 days and even into the Big 12, chasing one another. Florida State, Bobby Bowden built his dynasty up on playing Nebraska. They would open the season. They'd get a paycheck for it, but man, they were a good independent team, and they came up here 3 times. Nebraska's 2-6 all time against Florida State. A lot of those bowl games, but Bobby Bowden won up here a lot. Mm-hmm. He won the last home game before the BYU Hail Mary. So are you built to beat the champ? And that's a tough discussion, right? Because right now the Rockets have put all their eggs into the Golden State basket with who they have, with the talent they've accumulated, with their style of play, with what they did in the regular season. But it's a whole different level. It's a whole new thing. And you saw iso ball versus ball movement. Mm-hmm. You saw transition. You saw points in the paint. And you had no answer. You shot horribly. Guys got tired because of your style of play. Nebraska eventually kind of revolutionized what they wanted to do, and Coach McBride's talked about it a lot of times. How did Nebraska get great? Well, they evaluated well. They developed well. They recruited well. They got Tommy Frazier, and then they got fast, like freaking lightning fast on the edge at linebacker, defensive end, safety. They had guys that could play man defense in the secondary, Tyrone Williams and Baron Miles, guys that could just play one-on-one against the receivers. They figured out, between Coach McBride, obviously, and Coach Darlington's talked about this too, where the shift of who the champ was happened. It wasn't, you got to beat Oklahoma anymore. Okay, Oklahoma's faded away. No more Barry. You got to beat Washington in the one back. Colorado switched to a 3 wide out one back. and they're going to throw the ball to the back, or they're going to put a guy in the slot, and your linebackers are going to be beat up all day. You had a run stopper against a pass catcher. Give me a cigarette and a six shooter. You're done. A mismatch isn't fun. So Nebraska got good defensively. Let's fast forward to now, and how do you become built to beat the champ? What's Nebraska's hope of beating, let's start in the West, mm-hmm. Wisconsin and Iowa? Doesn't it really kind of come down to line play, physicality, and stopping the run?
Yeah, and I think you talk about like an X factor. I think if they're able to match physicality or reach a certain point where it's at least close.
Yeah, you're not getting destroyed in the fourth
right.
quarter.
Right. And also the fatigue. And if they can get past that, your X factor becomes how athletic are you? How, like you said, they just got fast quick. If Scott Frost's offense can get fast before the season starts, if everyone's just...
They're recruiting those type of athletes.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. If they can get that X factor of athleticism and just outside speed on both sides of the ball, and then you can get the physicality, you know, as you go through the game and the stamina throughout the game. It will come down to line play, but if you can be more athletic as well, that can be huge when it comes to crossover games also, because that's how Ohio State does it. They're physical, but they're just so damn athletic that
they're skilled.
It's hard to stop them.
Well, and that's who you got to beat right now. And as long as Urban's there, you're going to have to beat him. As long as James Franklin's there and keeps rolling in recruiting, that's who you got to beat. I'm not so worried about catching Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Michigan's not going to be fun defensively to mess with. But, you know, are you built to beat the champ? It's going to come down to Nebraska getting like athletes or developing like playmakers on the line of scrimmage. How's Ohio State win? They've had quarterbacks. They've had quarterback depth. They've had skill at the wideouts. They've had really good running backs. They've had all conference and NFL offensive linemen. But what Ohio State's been better than anybody at, and this comes to their coaching staff too, and they've had former head coaches as assistants. I mean, Schiano. Mm-hmm. Look at the guys they put into the NFL. They have had NFL corners and safeties that can play man, and either you drop your linebackers into coverage and just have a four-man pass rush, or if you against some of the better teams, you can bring more dudes. But they've had the Boses of the world, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, they have had the 2017 version of a Grant Wistrom or a Jason Peter on those teams. They've with a good group of 11. Mm-hmm. And then the next wave, the second team guys, those cats are all ready and really good, and there's not much drop-off. So go get really good players, that's obvious, but get them ready in big games and get them ready to perform at a high level in some non-conference games. And Nebraska's going to have that opportunity. I know Colorado is sentimental right now, but it's going to be a good home and home as Nebraska prepares for tougher ball games on the road. When it comes to X factors and are you built to beat the champ, it's going to come down to, do you stop the run game? Are you able to morph into a team defensively that can hold up against the run when Iowa and Wisconsin come to town or you head there, but you're also athletic enough to stop the athletes and the spread attack that Penn State has? Ohio State's their own thing, but it's physical. Mm-hmm. And then Michigan's also wanting to be smash mouth, although you might see some more spread out of them with Shea Patterson. Michigan State, they're doing more spread stuff. It's not I formation, Kirk Cousins handing off to Le'Veon Bell. They're not doing that as much. So you just got to be versatile defensively. You got to stop the run. You got to go get turnovers. That's all things Nebraska's preaching. But do you have the guys to do it? Look at Nebraska's defense right now. Who's the X factor on defense? Well, can Lamar Jackson be what his body allows him to be? Can he be a playmaker? Defensively, what are you going to get out of some guys that are on that interior? Is Mick and the Davis twins, are they going to be able to get after the quarterback and hold up against the run? Are your outside linebackers? You have Breon Dixon that is a guy that can play now. That's nice. But what are you going to get out of those guys? You talk pass rush, it's a reality. And whether those guys step up or not, get better as they are here longer with this staff the next couple of years, that'll show you the answer here. Are you built to beat the champ? And right now, from an NBA perspective, Houston thought they were. That was their goal. That was their blueprint. They have failed thus far. Still more games in the series, but it's interesting to look at the history of Nebraska with who was chasing Nebraska, who Nebraska was chasing, how things got cyclical, and now Nebraska is still chasing. And really, to be honest with you, in the Big Ten, there's a lot of teams that if you look at records over the years, it's not been 10 years since so-and-so ... has beaten Nebraska. You got a whole new opportunity of starting long win streaks against your new conference foes. Great to be with you on a Tuesday. It's Hail Varsity Radio. Nebraska, I think, has some dudes that can be difference makers. You think you got a couple at quarterback. We'll talk with Mitch Sherman next of ESPN.com. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
He's in his 30s, but sounds like he was born with a stogie in one hand and a brew in the other.
Now, say my name.
It's Schmitty on Hail Varsity Radio.
I got the body of a taut preteen Swedish boy.
Coming up, Rick Pizzo will be with us. We'll talk some NBA with Jeff Smith. Welcome in Mitch Sherman, ESPN.com and Magazine. Are you still in Bristol, Mitch? How are you, sir?
I am in Bristol, reporting to you from stormy Bristol. So, left the ESPN headquarters, and I have successfully arrived at my hotel and navigated through a storm. So, I know you're happy to hear that. But all is well in Bristol, and I'm here most of the week.
So, looking at your Twitter right now, at Mitch Sherman, you were with two guys from Michigan. Were they, did you drive? Did they drive? We'll get to football in a minute. I just need to know who pulled off the safe navigation.
Yeah, Dan Murphy, my colleague from Michigan, was at the wheel. And I was helping navigate and admiring their complete lack of understanding about the weather that we were experiencing.
You're like, I'm from Nebraska, man. These look bad.
Yeah, we had a little bit of rotation in the clouds above. I think there was a tornado warning to the north of us up by Hartford, but didn't make it down to our area. Everything's fine. It rained real hard, a lot of lightning, very, very dark skies. They were awed by it all, but it's old hat. Like, as I said, hashtag amateur hour.
Mitch Sherman, storm chaser and college football analyst, Hail Varsity Radio. Mitch, I love it. I was talking a little bit here to start the show in reference to Houston putting so many eggs into the Golden State basket this year. And I brought it back to Nebraska football. You know, are you built to beat the champ? And looking at it from a Nebraska perspective, can you take down Wisconsin and Iowa in the West and the big bad dudes from the East? And that's a fair question. I want to go to Ohio State, the kind of the pace car, so to speak, for the league. And looking at them, what sticks out to you about how they're built? What kind of wows you about not only their roster construction, but just some of the talent they have on it?
I'm impressed with their physical style. Yeah. I think that there are a number of programs out there that recruit like Ohio State, and they can get into the game of stockpiling talent and forget about some of the things that are at the basic level of football, like going out and hitting people and being strong at the line of scrimmage. Now, there are other teams in the same boat as Ohio State. Alabama certainly is, that have not forgotten those principles and know those principles as well as anybody. But as you called it, the pace car, that's Ohio State in the Big Ten. And to me, that's what they do well. Don't forget the fundamentals of the game. They don't forget, you know, what has traditionally won championships. And in football, that's just beating the guy across the line of scrimmage from you. So while they definitely seek out the best talent and have a keen eye for it and find guys who fit their system, they play physical football. And if you're going to compete in the same league as them, I think it's imperative that you do that too.
Mitch Sherman's with us, Hail Varsity Radio. Guys on the Nebraska roster right now that you think, okay, can compete and have an opportunity to bring Nebraska up the rung. It's a young roster in some aspects. It's also, you got a lot of guys back, but it's transition. It's a new coaching staff. Are there some guys on Nebraska's roster that you think can help take those steps forward to where Nebraska is in contention for at least their division?
Well, there are some guys. They don't have a roster full of them yet, but there are some guys. And, you know, I wouldn't discount the older guys. You know, I think it's easy to go to the young ones, and it's easy to go to some of the players who haven't proven themselves yet and look the part on recruiting film or in the spring game. There's going to be a lot of excitement this offseason about Will Honus. I think now that he's eligible, there's going to be a lot of excitement about Breon Dixon. Some of the other newcomers that Nebraska's bringing in on the offensive side of the ball. Greg Bell is already here. There are others coming in August. I think there'll be excitement about those guys. But you know, they're going to show their flaws, I would say, at some point when they get out there on the field. The players that Nebraska's going to have to look to in the short term, unless you have just a true standout, unless you've got like a Levante David among that group, are the players, and you might, but we just don't know that yet. The guys they're going to have to look to are the veterans who've been in the program, guys like Stanley Morgan, you know, a guy like Mick Stoltenberg. They're going to have to lead this team. And you can say, well, you know, they're leftovers from a 4-8 group, but Scott Frost and his staff, they are required to work with the parts that are there. And there are some good parts that are still there. They don't have a roster full of the kind of players who can go toe-to-toe with Ohio State or Wisconsin right now and beat them at their game. If they're going to have any chance to pull an upset in a game like that, it's going to have to be, at this point, by doing something different than what those programs do. And Nebraska does have that going for them in 2018. Not to say that they're going to win those games, but they do have something going for them, and that they, at least on paper, and the design is for Nebraska to play a unique style of football in the Big Ten. And that up-tempo, it's not entirely unique. Ohio State does a little bit, but the pace that's even faster. So for Nebraska to beat those teams their own game and be physical like Ohio State or Wisconsin, they've got a lot more players of that caliber that they need to get into the program.
Mitch Sherman, a few minutes. He is in Bristol, Hail Varsity Radio, at Mitch Sherman on Twitter. Can read him, ESPN.com. Mitch, want to get to the Supreme Court decision. How do you anticipate the NCAA handling this? What are some courses of action they could take with this? And what's kind of been around the ESPN headquarters with this now that you're going to have tons of you know, the Power Five and the Group of Five dealing with it as well, depending on what state they're located in, depending on if a state does legalize sports betting? Let's try and get him back again. Mitch, we're losing you. You still there?
I'm here.
Okay. We are losing you. You're going haywire on me. We're going to try and redial Mitch. Let's do that quickly. We're going to reconnect with Mitch Sherman. I want to hear a Supreme Court thought on this in reference to the NCAA. 30 minutes away from Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet time. Jeff Smith, longtime Nebraska assistant, is going to be with us. And his take, he's a guy that's gotten to spend some time with Ty Lue. That coming up next hour. So we'll get Mitch Sherman back. We'll get his take on sports betting, the NCAA, how the Power Five is going to deal with it. And hopefully we'll do that. Colton's rocking his Arizona State gear today. I'm going to blame that. Mitch has done some storm chasing earlier. That is good. We are reconnected with Mitch Sherman. Mitch, thanks for your help on that, bud. The Supreme Court decision, how the NCAA will work with this.
I think we're all going to be, or every state's going to be affected by it one way or another. You know, whether you live in a state that legalizes sports gambling or not, it's going to be something that's prevalent. It already is prevalent. Mm-hmm. I think that's a point that a lot of people have made, that this is happening anyway. So let's just do it and make it legal and regulated, and you know, you have a better handle on what kind of what's being bet on, and theoretically. It can be controlled a little bit more. I think that's a good theory. From the NCAA standpoint, they're going to have to go with it if it's law. So I don't think they're going to encourage betting. I don't think you're going to hear I don't think you're going to hear PSAs that from the NCAA that encourage people to go out and bet. But and to me, one of the key questions is what will the NCAA do in regard to revenue that's generated from this? Will the NCAA follow suit in any way, shape, or form with the pro leagues that are going to try to capitalize with a percentage of the money that's being bet? I feel like that would be 100% hypocritical on the part of the NCAA to go down that road. But, you know, we've seen the NCAA act in a hypocritical fashion at times in the past when it comes to earning money. So, a lot to be determined. I think the landscape of it.
Hello? Mitch? Do we have him? Let's try it again, Colton. Let's see if he's there. God, he was getting to a... He's killing it. Every time between him and Brad Edwards, UConn kills people's cell phones. Not UConn, the school. You know, Colton, let's see if we can get him back on the other side for 2 minutes to finish his thought, because we're up against it. Make contact with him if he could. Okay, thanks for your patience with this. Mitch Sherman here on Hail Varsity Radio. I want to remind you about texting and driving. It's not a good idea, and it's very dangerous. Every time you text and drive, you have a chance at harming yourself or someone else. Your senders will receive a text, takes your eyes off the road an average of 5 seconds, like driving blind at 55 miles per hour for more than the length of a football field, and increases your crash risk by 23 times. Texting and driving in Nebraska is also illegal, with fines between $100 and $300. So no text message more important than your life, the lives of your passengers, and others on the roadway. This message from your friends at the Nebraska Department of Transportation and Highway Safety Office. We'll try and get reconnected with Mitch Sherman in a couple of minutes. We'll have Rick Pizzo on the way. We'll have Jeff Smith on Ty Lue, Cleveland, Golden State, all that good stuff. That is what's on deck. I want to remind you about Hail Varsity. You miss any part of the show, you're encouraged to check out the podcast. You can go to hailvarsity.com, you can go to iTunes. You can also go to ESPN Lincoln, get that app downloaded, select portions of the show uploaded on ESPN Lincoln, and blips are thrown out for you on ESPN and Hail Varsity Twitter handles. So keep that in mind if you want to get caught up with some of the best of each day. You can subscribe to premium content on the web and get the magazine subscription you're going to love for sure. All what a part of one big bundle. 855-3-HUSKER or hailvarsity.com/subscribe. Do it today. You'll smile about it. Savings and all that Husker goodness you want. We'll try and run down Mitch Sherman and continue on a Tuesday with Hail Varsity presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
And we're back.
Fellas, you think we could listen to the radio
on Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Yes! That's awesome.
Mitch Sherman live from stormy Bristol to finish his thought on the NCAA landscape. Agrigold, you might have noticed that different soybean sign in your neighbor's field. That's Agrigold. Our customers now have access to select soybean varieties direct to their farm the Agrigold way. They have high expectations for every seed that goes into the ground, and our approach to soybeans, no different. High-performance soybeans from a brand you already know. For more info, visit agrigold.com. Can tap the line. Chillingbridge Cork and Tap House lets you do that. 466-3776, 466-3776, 800-825-5865. Can send an email, chris@alevarsity.com. We got into the gambling stuff really, really heavy yesterday. Some expert thoughts from Vince Powers on that yesterday. Can check out ESPNLincoln.com. And do we have Mitch Sherman? No? He says he can hear you. So I guess we'll try it. One last hurrah with Mitch Sherman. Mitch, do you have us, bud? No. Nope, he hung up. He hates us. We will do this again next Tuesday at 4:25 with Mitch when he's not in Bristol. Heartbreaking. But he was good. The landscape of the NCAA, how do they do it? I don't know. I'm halfway expecting the NCAA to come back and say, yeah, we aren't for this, but it's going to happen, so we're going to put our hand out. Mm-hmm. We're going to upset our air quote amateurs even more. That is a reality that I could see happening, and the NCAA will botch this.
I was just going to say, they've never really acted outside of their own interest, so I don't know why. I don't know why we'd ever think they would. So they'll find a way to where it benefits them and obviously negatively affects the student athletes more than they already have found ways to do.
All right, we are going to play the Brad Stevens game here. So cut one from Brad Stevens, Celtic shoot around. And you have Brad Stevens asked about LeBron. And, you know, what are you going to do about LeBron game two? And this was Brad Stevens yesterday, shoot around. Because, that storm's coming tonight.
I mean, he almost had a triple-double, so he was pretty darn good. Just missed a few shots. I mean, like, at the end of the day, he's an unbelievable player who can get others involved and get himself involved. He's special. You're only going to be able to do so much against him. We try to do it with as many bodies as possible, and then we've got to guard the other guys. Like, that's the thing. Like, Love and Korver and Smith and Thompson's rebounds and everything else. Hood, we've got to be much better making sure we're there on all their catches.
Okay, so the politically correct Brad Stevens, aw shucks, I'm a competitor, but now we have what he really wanted to say. And this is what Brad Stevens really wanted to do.
I mean, he almost had a triple-double.
Okay, that's what he wanted to just leave the comment at. Brad just, hey, how are you going to stop LeBron? You guys did a great job of stopping LeBron.
I mean, he almost had a triple-double.
That's what he wanted to say. Cut two, LeBron and Brad Stevens. More praise for LeBron from Brad and the adjustments that he's expecting tonight.
And I think anytime that you have a great player, they're going to watch it close and figure out what they can try to do better and everything else. And nobody's been better at making those adjustments over the course of time than him. He's tremendously talented, but as you said, tremendously bright as well. And so he'll be aggressive. I mean, that's part of it. That's the great challenge of having to play against a team like this and a player like him.
So fortunate. It's a challenge. It's wonderful. Here's what Brad really wanted to say.
He's a tremendously talented, but as you said, tremendously bright as well. And so he'll be aggressive. I mean, that's part of it. That's the great challenge.
I mean, Brad Stevens with F-bombs would make the world a better place. I need him mic'd up on NBA TV.
See, that would be interesting. I wonder what he's like on the sidelines, because he seems like one of the more, I mean, he gets kind of like the facial expression.
He reminds me of Dexter, like the show Dexter, the serial killer.
Mm.
He's just kind of quiet off in his own little world. I'm not calling him a serial killer. I'm just saying Brad Stevens is this smartest 1% dude in the room who's making money off of wealth management that got talked into, hey, let's coach at Butler. Barry Collier's on line one. Sure. And now 5 years into the NBA is incredible.
Yeah.
And dude, guys love him and respect him. And you want to talk about being real? He is connected with it. And I don't know if he's fake or two-faced or what. I just think he's kind of just what you see is what you get. Mm-hmm. And he probably grew up doing chores or in a rural setting. I don't know his family history, but the dude was raised right, and his integrity is everywhere. And and he's getting guys, pro guys, to do things they're paid to do, but without griping or whining. They are playing at such a high level, and Horford's been huge, obviously. They've drafted well, yes, with Tatum. But he's lost his best dudes. That doesn't matter.
Mm-hmm.
But I like evil Brad Stevens and regular Brad Stevens. I think we're going to keep doing that.
Well, like,
or does it suck? Do you keep playing it or not?
See, I think, like I said, he's one of the more mild-mannered coaches.
So dropping in an F-bomb once in a while, although lab-created.
Yeah. Maybe he does on the sideline. I don't know.
He might. I don't know. I'll have to talk to my people in the NBA about that, like I've got people. Rick Pizzo's coming up. Jeff Smith is on the way. Quick take tonight. What happens?
I feel like much of the same, but then again, you never know what LeBron's going to come out and do. This first game, it seemed like it was kind of
yes or no game two. Does Cleveland get it done?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either.
But if
here's
LeBron,
the bigger
if
question.
LeBron scores 45, it's a whole different story.
But he's going to have to.
Right.
Do they get even, though, in Cleveland? They go down 0-2, do they get even in Cleveland? Part of me wants to see this Golden State-Boston matchup. Completely over Houston. I don't need to see them.
Yeah. I just want something different. I'm okay with Golden State being there, but it seems like if Golden State makes it, it's them.
But Boston's kind of versatile. I mean, they're very versatile, but
it'd be team ball against team ball.
Yeah, and I think that would be kind of sexy. I don't know. Wind down hour one. You're chanting some volleyball tickets coming up. Hail Varsity continues, presented by the Nebraska Lottery.
Chime in 402-466-ESPN or email the show, Chris at HaleVarsity.com.
Just try me. Try me.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Apparently, people won volleyball tickets, which is sweet. Team USA, Devaney Center tomorrow at 5. Rick Pizzo's 10 minutes away. We're not giving them away now. If you're calling, God bless you. But you have to wait a couple minutes at least. Okay. So that is that. Jeff Smith is on the way to talk postseason hoops in the NBA. I'm excited for Thursday. It's a road show Thursday. We're going to be at Haymarket Park. Hail Varsity on the road for Scott Frost's first pitch. Scott Frost night at Haymarket, season opener for the Salt Dogs. Myself, Dr. Petey. Derek Peterson's going to be riding shotgun with me. We'll be there Thursday. So we'll do the show, 4 to 6. Gates will open. Don't know when, but obviously you'll get a chance to, if you don't have Salt Dog tickets, saltdogs.com, get them now. Chance to get a sweet Frost jersey / t-shirt.
Yeah, steal one for me.
I don't know that I'm getting one. So, no is the answer. No is the answer. I don't expect one For sure. So this from the World Herald, Nebraska Athletic Director Bill Moose defending Darren Erstad lays out his vision for the Husker baseball program. I'm about tired of, I understand the grumbling mm-hmm. of, God, they're below 500. They're not going to make the Big Ten tournament, or act of God will help them make the Big Ten tournament, but they're in a tough spot. Listen, man, I don't have an answer as to why in-state kids are going other places. I don't. Mm-hmm. The obvious answer is, well, they're not recruiting Nebraska. I don't know that. I don't know that.
Right.
That they're not recruiting Nebraska. How hard are they recruiting Nebraska? Are they going to other locations instead of focusing on some folks at home? Maybe. Mm-hmm. Maybe. But I like Coach Erstad. I hope he coaches here a long time. I think he should coach here a long time. I think he has a tremendous baseball mind. I think he knows how to coach players. I think he knows how to win. Is he doing it this year? No. And I think there's a high level of entitlement with some baseball fans here that don't give a damn, never went to Buck Belzer, only started showing up when they were winning.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not every Nebraska fan at all. But remember going as a kid, there was three people and two, my dad, me, and then someone's girlfriend watching him pitch at Buck. Okay? Mm-hmm. That was an eyesore. It is what it is. You got Haymarket. Van Horn's a special coach. Mm-hmm. And Nebraska baseball, should you be in the regional every year because you're in the Big Ten, probably, or knocking on that door, you had a bad season.
Mm-hmm.
Let's not act like it's been a bad career. And this is not fair to have the expectation to be Van Horn and go to the CWS every year. It's great to shoot for, but it's special when you do it.
Mm-hmm.
The reason it's only happened three times, okay? There's my thoughts. Caller 8 and 9 right now. Volleyball tickets for Nebraska or Team USA. A lot of Nebraska flavor there. Caller 8, caller 9 right now. A pair of volleyball tickets for Wednesday. Caller 8, caller 9, 466-3776.
Welcome to Hail Varsity Radio, the voice of Husker Nation. Insight, opinion, expertise, with the biggest and best names talking Nebraska across the state. Join the show on Twitter at Hail Varsity and at Schmitz underscore radio. Call in at 402-466-ESPN or 1-800-825-5865. Here's Chris Schmitz.
Back into it, hour two. It's Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Big Ten Buffet time. Mr. Rick Pizzo at BTN. Rick Pizzo. Rick, are you dry? How are you?
Barely, my friend. It has been biblical over the last couple of days here in Chicago. The good news is the sun is coming. Little Pizzo will be able to get out and play some Bronco baseball sometime soon, and the sticks are not going to rust in the back of the car. They will get use, and they'll get use soon.
I think I get to go golf next week, but they're still gathering dust. How many signs do you go through at third base, Coach? How difficult is it?
I have one. If my hand gets wiped across my chest, you're stealing. And if it doesn't, you're staying. It's really pretty simple. I try to keep it as simple as possible with the 11-year-olds.
Uh-huh.
You touch the nose and the ear and the chin way too often. They think you're picking your nose. They think you have something in your teeth. You just make it simple and let them go from there.
There we go. Expert coaching, third base box, Rick Pizzo. Big Ten Buffet with Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, let's start a little bit here with some national news that came down yesterday and the Supreme Court ruling that states now have authority to go where they want, do what they want when it comes to legalizing sports betting. We spent a lot of time on it yesterday. I want your big picture perspective and what's your reaction? Secondly, do you have a gut on what the Big Ten thinks is a conference?
Yeah, I'm supportive of the decision. I've always been a believer, and I've actually been a fairly big constitutional law scholar. That's what my thesis was on in college. I've always believed that the court should give more latitude to the states to decide a lot of these issues that are back and forth, where people have very strong feelings one way or the other. I understand the counter argument that sports gambling usually affects those who can afford to lose money the least. But that same argument could be made about casinos and lottery, which have brought in a ton of money, mainly for education. And I live in Illinois, and you think about what the budget is like in the state of Illinois, and we are so deep underwater that if you legalize and tax sports gambling, much like you've done with Powerball or other games of chance, you are going to benefit the greater good. Are there going to be some sad stories? Absolutely. Walk into the closest casino to your house, and you're going to see a dozen sad stories within the first 15 minutes. But as long as there are regulations that go along with it, and as long as the states are benefiting, and preferably benefiting in terms of filling up the coffers for education or for pension funds or other things that have shortfalls right now, I'm okay with it. I don't think that any conference is going to like it, because no conference that is governed by the NCAA is going to be able to be supportive of something that basically in our minds turns college student athletes into pros. Because in the past, when we think about wagering or gambling, if you're not in Vegas, you think about fantasy football, how it relates to pros. You think about the people placing money on the pros and whether those players have signed up for that because they are professionals and they're getting paid to do what they do. That's a different story with college athletes. So I don't think that the Big Ten or any league is going to come out and say, well, we support this decision as well. We stand behind the Supreme Court. I think they'll say the opposite. I don't have any insight into that, but that would most certainly be my guess from the conference perspective.
Rick Pizzo's with us, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio at BT, and Rick Pizzo. That said, in states that move forward and legalize sports wagering, there's opportunity to make money. There's opportunity to make money for a school. There's opportunity to make money for a conference. And how do you navigate that if you're the NCAA? You've been against this, but now you have a chance to make some money off of it. How do you do that, and how do you keep things civil and happy? Not that it's been that way, but happier, I guess, with your student athletes who feel like, okay, we need to get compensated.
Yeah, I think that's the next step. I think the last part of your question is the most important element as to how the NCAA and how probably the conferences specifically handle this. Because if this is state by state, within the Big Ten footprint decide to legalize this gambling. Let's, again, because I'm using Illinois as a hypothetical. Let's say that Illinois is one of the states that goes ahead and legalizes it. Does that then give athletes at Northwestern and the University of Illinois more of a footing to be compensated when it is clear that people inside the state of Illinois are wagering and in at least half cases, most of the time, winning money on the performances of those student athletes? If you can point out, you can specify money being won because of an athlete. This is not like money being brought into college and how it is distributed and the distribution of wealth from a football program that makes money to all the different schools. This is different. This is being able to say specifically, because player X scored a touchdown and covered the spread, 43% of the people that bet on Illinois this weekend are going to make money. Does that then give those student athletes more of a foot to say, hey, listen, I'm winning these, not only am I earning money for my school and supporting other programs, I am actually winning people cold hard cash. It is going to be a fascinating debate inside those states which legalize it and what the conferences that govern the schools inside those states decide to do.
If you're the NCAA, do you follow the NBA's kind of blueprint here where they want 1% of all bets placed? Do you go that route and then distribute it?
I don't know that you can, Chris. I mean, if you do that, if you open Pandora's box and say, well, then we want part of this, then you are opening yourself to not be supportive and not be an organization that fully believes in amateurism. That's their big phrase. They believe in amateurism. That's why the student athletes should not be paid. How can you continue to say that if then you are then taking a percentage of sports gambling on these student athletes? I just don't think you can have a stance one way and take money that, to me, screams the other direction.
If you take it, you could distribute it, though, to...
Sure, but
to,
I don't think they want to do that.
Sure. No, I hear you. I'm just... There's things beyond just this decision, and I appreciate your insight on it. Rick Pizzo's with us, Hail Varsity Radio at BTN, Rick Pizzo on Twitter. Rick, let's talk Nebraska baseball for a second. Nebraska doesn't look like they're going to make the Big Ten tournament in Omaha. It's been a rough year, a tough year, an injured year for Darren Erstad. There are things that they've left on the base paths, and there's plays that they haven't made in the field. All that said, Nebraska's been in the chase for a regular season and championship, and they won the Big Ten tournament last year. So regular season, I should say. So with all that being said, think back to when Nebraska joined the league. What were your expectations for Nebraska baseball? Have they met them? Where do they lie right now in, as far as their expectation level from you?
Yeah, I think they're fairly where I thought they would be. I don't think they're far above. I don't think they're far below. Listen, this year has been a disappointment. They have dealt with a ton of injuries, and the Big Ten season specifically has not been what they expected. I mean, to get swept in that two-game series by Michigan State, to lose two out of three against Rutgers. Now, they came back last weekend and won two important games, or 2 weekends ago, I should say, against Maryland, and then things looked like they were starting really nicely with the win over Indiana last Friday before they lost two in a row. There's still an outside chance for them to get into the top eight. I think they'd pretty much have to sweep Illinois this weekend. Yep. And have some things happen ahead of them. I will say this, though, Chris. I think Darren Erstad is running the kind of program that a lot of parents want their kids to be a part of. And Exhibit A to me was the benching of Altavilla the other day after the home run. I'm sure you guys have talked about this extensively.
Yep.
But when one of your best players does something that is basically saying, right now this is all about me, Darren is saying, no, it is always all about the team. And right now, if we had been thinking about the team more than we had been thinking about individual play, we probably wouldn't be in this situation. So you can take that individual selfishness and you can park it on the bench. And I thought that was an awesome move. And I think it speaks volumes about who Darren is as a coach. I think that's how he played the game, and he's not going to let his players play any differently, regardless of whether they're going to make the tournament, Big Ten or NCAA. They will be back, but Chris, I know that you and I agree on this. It is not an easy spot to recruit ball players to, especially local talent that is worthy of playing in the Big Ten. Do you want to play for Darren Erstad? Absolutely. But it is a tough, it's somewhat akin to Tim Miles with basketball. You can get a handful of good players each year, but are you going to get the best players to come and play for you? Probably not. So you need to take those really good players and have them overachieve. I would say that last year was a little bit of that. There was some overachieving in that regular season last year. You come back to earth this year, much like the basketball team came back to earth a few years ago, and now they're on the upswing as well. This is not a time to panic, not a time to be nervous if they end up missing the Big Ten tournament. This is cyclical. I think that's the name of the game, especially in a spot like Nebraska for baseball.
You know, and there's been a number of in-state kids that have gone elsewhere. That's a question and a topic of frustration for a number of the fans who voice their opinion is, are you going enough in-state? And you have in-state kids here, but you're seeing a lot of the in-state kids that went to A&M or Minnesota in Omaha in June. Yeah, some of your in-state kids you're not getting go elsewhere and perform at a monster level. And that has a lot to do with Coach Childress down at A&M and his time at Nebraska. I mean, that still resonates here.
Yeah, no, and I think the Minnesota connection is probably a little bit more frustrating. You don't want to lose players to a team that's in your league, that's the northernmost team in your league, so you're clearly not losing them because of weather. That's not the debate. You're not losing them because of a connection. You're losing them for a reason that you don't want to admit, and it's because they want to play there more. And that is a little bit frustrating, but I think that happens in every sport. I think that happens in every school, save maybe Alabama football, Kentucky and Duke basketball. It's going to happen everywhere. And I think the great thing about Darren is his personality is such that that's not going to bother him or let him affect how he does his job.
Rick Pizzo is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, Big Ten Buffet Time, at BT and Rick Pizzo on Twitter. Rick, let's talk Michigan football for a second. I know Shea Patterson's been cleared for a couple, 3 weeks now. That said, let's move forward here and talk Michigan expectations on offense. Saw some numbers where they were 111th in passing yards last year. They were 119 in passing touchdowns. They also allowed the second most sacks. Whoever's behind center, it's up to that offensive line to be good and protect. You've got an athletic guy now in Shea behind center. That said, what type of identity do you expect the Michigan offense to have? Because they're trying to be pro style, but you got a spread quarterback now.
Yeah, and I think that's been the issue for them, is what exactly is the identity of the offense. I think Jim Harbaugh would love it to be smash mouth, much like the offenses that he had at Stanford, with a really good offensive line, a fullback, and a couple of running backs, specifically one who's explosive and one who can hammer you between the tackles. They haven't had that last element. The offensive line was decent when he took over. It's still only decent. They've had really good fullbacks, but if you're going to pick one of those three elements that you have to have, it's not fullback. It's offensive line or running back 1-2 and then fullback 3. So they continue to struggle a little bit with that offensive identity. I also think that last year's offensive struggles were pinned all on the quarterbacks, and nobody talked about the fact that they lost two all-Big Ten receivers in Amara Darboh and J.U. Chesson, and a long time, I believe, future NFL tight end in Jake Butt, who didn't do anything last year because of an injury. But you lose that kind of ability to catch the football and you become one-dimensional, and their offensive line and their run game wasn't good enough last year for that one dimension. That's the beauty of Shea Patterson. If he comes in and he is truly the starter from day one and gives you that dual threat that Michigan maybe hasn't had since, I guess, Denard Robinson left, then that's kind of the equalizer. When you don't have an identity on offense, that becomes, that quarterback becomes your identity, like it's happened at so many places. So I still think there are a lot of questions to answer on offense, and I've seen all the preseason predictions. So many of them have Michigan as a co-favorite in the Big Ten East as a top 10 preseason team. I just don't think those predictions are looking at what's in the cupboard, the struggles that they've had on offense and their schedule this year, because I think keeping a 10-win expectation on Michigan, when you look at what they have on the 2018 slate, I think those are unfair expectations.
I think it's going to be difficult, and I know they're – I don't have the schedule right in front of me, but I know they open at Notre Dame, and I assume – do they host this year? Do they host Penn State? Yeah, I think they host Penn State and Ohio State.
They play six teams. Here's what you need to know. They play six teams that won 10 games last year. I mean, to me, that says pretty much all you have to know. And, of course, included among those six teams are Michigan State, who has owned Michigan since Jim Harbaugh arrived, Ohio State, who has beaten Michigan in every game since Jim Harbaugh arrived. They have to travel to Northwestern. That's another team that won 10 games last year. Yes, they get Penn State at home, but they have to go to Columbus. One of their crossover games is against Wisconsin, the best team in the West. I mean, the schedule is absolutely brutal this year. And yet, the opener, not just against Notre Dame, but at Notre Dame. So if you win 10 games with that schedule and questions at quarterback, then Jim Harbaugh is probably the Big Ten coach of the year.
Rick Pizzo with us, Big Ten Buffet, Hail Varsity Radio. Rick, we will get caught up again next week. I always love talking Big Ten topics with you. And I learn something new all the time. Constitutional law scholar. That makes me smile, man. Good for you.
I don't know about scholar. The constitutional law part, yes. That's what the degree says. The scholar part, that's up for debate.
You went postgraduate at Syracuse. I think you're good. Take care, brother. Thanks for the time.
All right, my man. Good to talk with you as always.
Rick Pizzo, Big Ten Buffet. We'll get caught up with Jeff Smith, longtime coach at Southeast, longtime Nebraska basketball assistant. Knows Ty Lue extremely well. What's he think of the Cavs Celts? That's next.
And now, back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Back with us, Hail Varsity Radio, presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Longtime head coach at Lincoln Southeast, Hall of Famer, former assistant at Nebraska. Talk some NBA with Jeff Smith. Of course, he's close with Coach Lue. Coach Smith, how you been? You getting the golf clubs dusted off?
Got a couple of rounds in, not as many as expected. I'm doing a little house project, so it's slowing my golf game down.
Tell me about this house project real quick.
Well, I got a brother-in-law that has a great business, and he does this thing for a living, so he's doing most of it, but he's teaching me some. We're redoing doing our whole, gutted our kitchen, dining room, living room, and like I said, he's doing the brunt of the work, but I've actually ran a saw and a nail gun recently, so that's big for me.
How's your aim with the nail gun?
Not too bad. It wasn't too bad. Yeah, it's all like shooting, you know, free throws, good free throw shooter, good putter, you're a good nail gunner, I guess.
There we go. Jeff Smith's with us. Coach, a big game two tonight. Cleveland tries to get even with Boston. What have your thoughts been on Cleveland? I know you saw game one, and Coach Lou gets blasted on social media way too often. Coach Stevens does a great job, and you know how good he is in Boston. What, if anything, can Lou do lineup-wise tonight?
Boston is just so versatile. I don't know if there's a great answer to your question, because Boston, you know, they're kind of talking positionless basketball now in the NBA, where there's really no positions, and really some of the colleges are doing that too, where they can switch everything because they don't have guys that are just locked into playing on the block or have to have the ball in their hands all the time. And I don't know what, you know, besides having LeBron James on your team, I'm not sure there's great adjustments personnel-wise that you can make. I know they'll try some. You know, I think Tristan Thompson is a guy that if Boston's small, maybe he can go in and cause more problems on the glass or in a post-up game. It's all a matter of, can LeBron create enough for himself and Korver and those shooters? But they can shoot better, too. You know, they didn't shoot the ball worth a darn, and Coach Lou said that after the game. And I think a lot of it is just they've got to make some of the shots that they missed in the first game.
Jeff Smith is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, talking some NBA. What sticks out to you about Coach Stevens in Boston? He's been there 5 years, didn't get a single Coach of the Year vote, and he's lost his two top players. They're still a two seed. They look incredible in game one of the Eastern Conference Finals. But just from a demeanor and a schematic standpoint, what wows you about Stevens?
First thing that sticks out to me is you can tell that the players absolutely respect him and believe in him, and that's the first thing in coaching that you got to have. If you don't have that respect and belief, and they're going to do what he says. That's the first thing. Second is, I think his mind, his system, you know, they're calling him a genius, and he wants to turn that label down, and he doesn't want the attention, you know, that the team should get. But when he draws plays up, those guys are going to go execute those because they believe they're going to score out of them. And his side out of bounds, his specials that he runs. Typically, you watch them after a timeout and they score because those guys have that total execution belief and they are going to do what he tells them to do. And that's number one. I think he treats those guys in a very fair but firm manner. I think that he demands. I read an article today where he took one of the players out because they didn't go after a loose ball, and he didn't put him in for a long time. That kind of, you know, sets the tone for what he wants, how he wants them to play. And if you're doing that to professional athletes that are making a lot of money and they're, you know, following through for you there, that's a big step right there.
Imagine that, benching a pro athlete, right?
Yeah, exactly. but how effective is that? And the other guys knew that was the right thing to do. And he said that after watching, it was Shane Larkin, in fact. They said that after watching on film, Larkin admitted he should have gone after that loose ball. And to hold that high standard is why they're where they're at.
Jeff Smith is with us, Hail Varsity Radio, longtime coach at Southeast, Hall of Famer, and assistant for Nebraska basketball. I want to go to Golden State in Houston for a minute. And you have the ball movement that Golden State's known for in their shooting prowess. Then you have the ISO ball that Houston won a ton of games with and scored a ton of points with. Can Houston try to become anything other than what they've got here with in game two? It's a big discussion. The rhythm of Houston wasn't there because you're watching James score 40-some and then either kick it or get to the rim, but you had four other guys really not involved. Obviously, Paul got his points, but what do you do if you're D'Antonio or D'Antoni in this Houston group where you've built and you've kind of pointed at Golden State all year? You've built up to this moment and you fell short. What can you do to come back, and do you do anything differently?
Yeah, I don't think you panic. I don't think they can totally go away from the system that they've ran all year, that they've been successful with. my thing is Golden State does better than Houston, does better at the kind of same with the same, you know, kind of type players, and they just do it better. They just, and they do share the ball better. Houston is a much more one-on-one ISO oriented team, and Golden State's more ball movement. And I think ball movement is going to win every time. My X factor there, though, is Kevin Durant, and he showed it last night. He can shoot over anybody, and the length of you know his game, and I just don't think that Houston or maybe anybody else in the league has a great matchup for Kevin Durant. And when they need a bucket, besides the other talent that they have, they can go to Durant, and he's going to make the right play most of the time, but he can still get a good look off against anybody. And he's the X factor for them, I think. I think teams would have caught them, maybe Houston and some others, by now. But that Durant trade was put them back ahead for probably years to come.
Well, he is so good because of that ability to shoot over, like you touched on. But even some of his skip passes, I mean, you got Thompson there just sniping. Yeah. I mean, it was incredible to watch where Golden State just did them, and they were so effective. And Steph got all of his points going to the rim. I mean, he had one three.
Yeah, and obviously scouting report was they were going to make Steph do that, but he can, you know. And just side note, too, you know, Matt Hill from Southeast played at Texas with Durant his freshman year. One of the nicest guys Matt Hill played with, and very genuine. Still would, you know, years later would call him and they would talk. And just, it's good to know that there's NBA guys out there with that kind of talent that still have humility and care about people. And that's a tough business, and your demand for you is high, but so you got to be a Durant fan when you hear stuff like that, a guy that played with him and just absolutely respects him and still communicates with him. That was kind of fun to hear about that.
Jeff Smith, longtime coach at Southeast, Hale Varsity Radio. Coach, a thought here, and as you've observed Coach Lou, where do you think he's at mentally and physically now? He looks much better. I know he needed some time off earlier this season. You've been out to see him a few times, and the grind of being a head pro coach. How's he navigating that, and how do you think he's dealing with the expectations?
Yeah, and you mentioned earlier every time they lose, he gets criticized, and I hope he's not listening to media too much, because in my experience, watching him play, watching him run practices now as one of the best head coaches in the league. There's no doubt he's a very talented coach that's working with kind of a new roster, but there's so much pressure because he has LeBron on his team. So he probably puts pressure on himself more than he feels from the outside, but I think he's in a good place right now. Of course, I don't talk to him, you know, on a regular basis at all, but I think he's in a good place. I do think he feels a lot of pressure, and maybe has learned how to handle that pressure a little better. But he's always going to be in that spot of absolute criticism when they lose, because he's coaching the best player in the world. And everybody expects LeBron James to win everything, and therefore Ty Lue should win everything. And that's not fair, in my opinion. But I'm not counting him out. And I'm, be honest with you, I'm a huge Celtics fan. I've been a Celtics fan since 1968, and Bill Russell and Sam Jones and Havlicek. And I'm old, but I'm scared to death of LeBron and that team, because I watched them practice, and LeBron he's so focused, and he's so passionate, and he's so driven. I heard he was at the TD Garden shooting at 8 o'clock this morning, you know, getting ready for this game. And he scares me, and he scares me the way he leads, and he scares me the way he motivates. And he won't let his guys play like that again. He just won't. And Coach Lou won't either. But I really think Coach Lou will make adjustments, like he did when they won the championship in that series. He'll make adjustments, and tonight is going to be very, very interesting and probably determine the series, if you ask me. Because if Cleveland doesn't bounce back tonight and Boston, you know, wins by 10, 12 or going away again, they're in trouble. If Cleveland shows that they're going to stand up and play better and defend better and shoot better, then we got ourselves a series, and that's scary to Boston fans.
Jeff Smith, longtime coach at Southeast, Hall of Famer, and longtime Nebraska assistant with us here. Some NBA talk on Hail Varsity Radio from a local perspective. Coach, a last thought here. The Supreme Court overturned and made legal sports betting, so each state has the right to do that. And from your time as a college coach, how much time and energy did you guys spend at Nebraska putting the message out, guys, just stay away from it? I know that's been a few years ago, but
yeah,
it's now legal. I mean, just from your perspective as a coach and teacher, your message on it, your thoughts on it.
Yeah, it was something that we had to address quite regularly. In fact, you know, you had to warn guys that here's why guys are asking you these questions about injuries and all this. There's a lot of subtleties to things that people are doing that were gambling related. But I haven't read up on how does the NCAA fit in with that. You know, are they still governing these kids that if they give I don't know how that all fits, but I just know we would bring, you know, even FBI in one time and just talk about, here's some things to listen for when people are asking you questions or phone calls from people that, you know, are wondering about all these, you know, outside things that could affect your team and could affect point spread. So I just haven't read up enough on how this is going to affect. But I'm sure it doesn't sound like the leagues really want it. The professional leagues really want it. And I'm sure the NCAA doesn't want it. So is it going to cause more problems, more headaches around this and just be another distraction for teams? And, you know, there's a lot to this that I've got to study, and we're going to hear more about to how this is going to play out. And of course, it's still up to each state, right? So
yes,
we got some legal channels to go through yet.
Coach, we'll get caught up again. Thanks for a few minutes.
Sounds good. Thank you.
Jeff Smith, coach at Southeast for a number of years, under Danny Nee as well at Nebraska, close with Ty Lue, and some insight there on Boston, Cleveland, as we'll talk some more NBA on the way.
And now,
back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Great to have you back. Hail Varsity Radio presented by the Nebraska Lottery. Chris Schmidt, Colton Stone. Good stuff from Jeff Smith. And miss any part of the show today, podcast will be up, hailvarsity.com. Get to iTunes or the ESPN Lincoln app. Mitch Sherman, Jeff Smith, Rick Pizzo. Okay, I'm fired up about this, and I haven't seen a ton of negative response, although there's been some out there. Some eye-rolling, and more so from a younger crowd, about Michael Jordan, about the 30 for 30 series, a 10-part series, 10 for 2019. The Last Dance is what it's called. Now, the gold standard of ESPN 30 for 30s is OJ Made in America. Mm-hmm. 5-part, incredible, wow. The U is really good. Mm-hmm. Pony Excess was really good. The Raiders with Ice Cube was pretty cool. The Lakers-Celtics series was really awesome. Loved that. I liked Ice Cube narrating. But listen, can you ever get enough Jordan, or are you good? And I feel like the folks that, well, I mean, we're doing the LeBron-Jordan thing now. Mm-hmm. Why do we need a 30 for 30? You know what? This will reintroduce. I was listening to Marty Smith's podcast earlier today, and he's talking to Billy Corgan. And he did the U. Mm-hmm. He's like, that's how the recruits know about Miami now, because they haven't done anything on the field for kids to want to come to Miami. It's just the mystique and the history. And my old buddy Mahapatra tweeted out a good question this morning about how, you know, Nebraska, when's it going to happen for you? And there was supposed to be one out last summer or a year and a half ago. I don't know. There's one that's like almost done, but it's been shelved. Mm-hmm. So that would be really cool to reintroduce Nebraska football. Now, Nebraska football is pretty prominent in the U, but it's not good. I mean, there's not any time spent on the team that ended the Kane dynasty in the 95 Orange Bowl, but more so the team that created the Kane dynasty in the 84 Orange Bowl. But back to 30 for 30s. That's how a lot of dudes are reintroduced. That's how you know. And I'm talking to my about my kid even. He'll watch, if I got a Football Life on with the NFL Network, like the Kenny Stabler one, or the Earl Campbell one, or the Dan Marino one, or even the Jerry Rice one.
Yeah.
He's like, oh, they were great. Yeah. That's what I and who I watched growing up. So there's some historical perspective. And with MJ, I mean, you're never going to not know Jordan because of the Jordan brand and shoes. And you can YouTube and see what he did. But this will tell the full story. And here's a clip of it, a little bit of sound of it. And I don't know who's doing the project, but they've been pretty big time.
I want you to feel what I feel.
What time is it? Game time!
I want you to feel the tears that I felt when I won the first one. Those tears and that pain, and I wanted that feeling at the end of every year. And that's hard. It's like a dependency. It's always going to be a part of you.
Pretty good. ESPN and Netflix going to be a part of this documentary. Netflix has done some incredible programming. So the heads up on this, The Last Dance focuses on Jordan's career and work ethic he had throughout it. Because you've seen highlights. How's this going to be different?
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, because they did the MJ Rides the Bus, right? Series directed by Jackson Heyer. He did the 85 Bears, which was great. I need to see the Andre the Giant one. Is there one out? Is there an Andre the Giant 30 for 30?
I think so. If there is, I haven't
seen it. I don't know that it's an ESPN one.
Maybe not.
Bill Simmons, I think, did it, but it might be for something else. The Fab Five was great.
Mm, that's a really good
one. So what you're going to have here is the historical piece about his time in North Carolina, Dean Smith, winning the 82 championship, being drafted number three by the Bulls. And here's my question. 500 hours of unseen footage from the Bulls title. The final title, 97-98. That's what I got to see.
Yeah.
Because I remember that like it was yesterday. Shot against Utah. Sweet. So, this sounds even better now. Can it hurry up and be 2019?
Right.
Not only for a better football schedule, but also for this documentary.
Well, and that's basically all the rave I saw, too, is why do we have to wait till 2019 for this to come out? And I'm sure it's because it's 10 parts, so they probably want all 10 done. That way they can either slowly release them or drop them all out at the same time.
No, they'll do it like OJ. I mean, they'll have
one a week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They'll have nights they premiere, but I can't for the life of me understand anyone bitching and moaning that, more Michael Jordan stuff. Yeah, I'm a Jordan fan.
Mm-hmm.
But even if it's like, I mean, I watched the Kobe stuff. I'm not a huge Kobe guy, but man, he's phenomenal. He's talented. Mm-hmm. Respect it. So the more MJ, the better. That's good. These things are so good, too. I mean, it's what you're watching, man. I don't know how much TV you catch, but most of it's binging. Most of it's Netflix. Most of it's some series or show you're into because it's on a streaming setup. Some of you are still going home and watching Modern Family. It's all good.
What?
But you're watching Modern Family Sunday at 3 in the afternoon when there's no sports versus catching it live on Wednesday at 7.
Right, and see, that's the thing with sports anymore. That's almost the only reason you need live television.
Network TV, yeah.
Right. And
once it gets with Facebook or Twitter,
it's
you may not.
Right, and I think it's smart to go the Netflix route with it also because you premiere it and then maybe you know a week or two later you put it on Netflix. That way if you missed it. But they're still going to try to entice you to...
You got to go to the ESPN app.
Yeah.
I haven't bought that yet. I just haven't. Forgive me. We'll wind down a Tuesday. Good stuff today. Spent a lot of time talking who you built to beat. Can you beat the champ? How do you get to wear that crown? How do you get to drink some crown? I'll tell you in about 10 minutes. But in all seriousness, Nebraska as the team that folks had to beat to be the champ, and then Nebraska also, their time chasing programs, they're back at it again.
Miss us?
Come here, brother. Give me a hug. Bring it in for the real thing.
We're on call for you. Catch the podcast at HailVarsity.com, the ESPN Lincoln app, or download them on iTunes.
Saddle up, partner.
Back to Hail Varsity Radio.
Okay, Lars Anderson tomorrow. I told you today I lied to you, and I'm sorry about that. Tomorrow, Lars Anderson. Lars knows Nick Saban. Nick Saban knows Lars Anderson. Nick Saban commenting on Central Florida's title claim. And he is somewhere between bemused and annoyed on Central Florida's claim. Quoting St. Nick, if you honor and respect the system we have, despite some of the imperfections that you understand that the system has, then you wouldn't do something out of respect for the system that we have. That's code for, listen, if you want to play for a championship, this is the system we have, and don't claim yourself as champion because the system hasn't claimed you as champion. Mm-hmm. I guess anybody has the prerogative to claim anything. But self-proclaimed is not the same as actually earning it. And there's probably a significant number of people who don't respect people who make self-proclaimed sort of accolades for themselves. I got to find this audio. It's pretty good.
But through the history,
mm-hmm.
if we're looking at it before the playoff and even before the BCS, there are plenty of universities, especially big ones, that have those 40s and 50s titles that, yeah, they can claim them.
There's a lot of AP championships handed out pre-bowl game. I get it.
It is different now that for the past, what, two decades at least, there's been at least some kind of a system.
Yeah, and I don't want to – I mean, There is. You can't just make it up as you go.
Right.
I wish. I'd like to call my car a Mercedes or a BMW. You like my Beamer? It's not a Beamer. I don't know. What do you got rocking today, Colton?
Well, I'm trying to think of what high school stuff's going on. I'm at the Journal Star tonight. Is baseball still playing today? They play today?
I don't know. Not Nebraska. I'm talking high school.
Yeah. Yeah, just basically cleaning up the rest of spring sports. Yeah, just kind of seeing whatever's right. It'll probably be pretty slow, other than maybe some other college scoreless and that kind of stuff. But, yeah, no, it's a pretty slow week for spring stuff.
Yep, we will get caught up with Lars Anderson tomorrow, maybe another special guest. Working on Michael Franzese this week. Don't forget, we're at Haymarket Park on Thursday. Salt Dog season opener. It is Scott Frost night, the Frost first pitch going on. Myself, Derek Peterson, going to be there on Thursday. So come by, see us when you walk in the gate, say hi, and I think the first 1,500 get Frost jerseys. So if you don't have tickets to the home opener for the Salt Dogs, you want to see Coach Frost throw a heater, saltdogs.com. Politely tell the folks who keep calling we are out of volleyball tickets.
Will do.
All right, Colton, you're awesome. Thanks so much. We'll be back at you tomorrow at 4 with Hail Varsity Radio, Hail Varsity Magazine, HailVarsity.com. Podcast on HailVarsity.com or iTunes or the ESPN Lincoln app. Take care. We'll talk to you tomorrow.